Great to be with you. Thanks so much for coming. I want to say hello to all of our campuses. Thanks for joining us. And some of you came for the first time this last week at Easter, and you're back. And we want to say thank you for coming back. We're glad you're here. Thank you for being here, man. We had a lot of people show up for Easter at all of our campuses. We were at Overflow. It was crazy. And I say that because, you know, there was a time when COVID hit, we were like, what is happening to the church, right? And so it's kind of crazy. We're also saying what's happened to the whole world. And so I remember people were kind of freaked out, like, is the church done? Are we this and that? Well, no, God's not done with the church. I can promise you that. We had 28,000 people show up for Easter. So that's unbelievable. And so that's online and in person. We're blown away. So just thank you guys for bringing your friends and your family and for showing up and being here. And again, those of you who are with us, thank you for coming. Thanks for being here. And I'm excited about this new series we're doing. I actually had a different one planned, and just last second, God really spoke to me. And so I chunked what I was going to do, and we're changing it to talking about anointing, talking about the ingredients of anointing. I'm excited about this because that's a word we don't use often, but it's all throughout the Bible. The word anointing, when people hear that word, maybe you have a certain background, you're like, oh yes, finally, we're talking about the anointing, you're all excited. But I think you may be surprised that we're not talking about let's all jump up and down and run around and get crazy in church and now we're anointed. No, that's not it. Anointing is power. It's authority. It's God. It's what God placed you on this earth to do. There's something that you do that has an anointing on it. And so, but you can actually be anointed for something and not be living in the anointing. Does that make sense? So how do you get both going to where you have an anointing, but then you live in it, okay? And so an anointing doesn't just mean spiritual. People think, oh, that's like the anointed preacher or the anointed singer. But those are great. That can happen too, but there's lots of different anointings. Some of you are anointed for business. Some of you are just, you're just gifted at it. I have friends that are anointed for business. I've noticed something about all the people I know that are anointed for business. Personally, they all use the same word. They use the word cash flow. Like they just think that way. They think differently about money and about businesses, about how to make businesses work. And it's just amazing how they think that way. I know some people are anointed for education. And so this is a person who just loves to just drill down and dig deep into something and really pull out all the stuff from it. And so maybe that's your anointing. Just wherever you light up and talking about, that's probably what you're anointed at. And so years ago, I asked my wife when we were dating, I said, "What? Like, give me your dreams. Like, what do you want to do with your life?" And she's like, "I just really want to be a mom, you know?" And I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. You know, and I just thought maybe just a girl thing, you know, that's all. No, it was much bigger than that. And now I've had the experience of watching her raise me first and also our children. No, but you know what I'm saying? All the men are like, yeah, we do know what you're saying, right? But it's true. But she is so good at it. In fact, I'm going to do a message in 2 weeks on Mother's Day called The Anointed Mother. And I'm going to give you, don't tell anyone, I'm going to give away her secrets. And so there's certain things that she just does. She doesn't even tell me when she does. And I'm going to share those. And so don't miss that message. I'm very excited about that. So your anointing could be in a lot of different areas. Like my anointing is in breakdancing. You know what I'm saying? So whatever your anointing is, we're going to talk about that today. Okay? So whatever it is. Okay. So, okay. Anyway, so some are anointed more than others, but I'm just saying. I love it when you see ingredients in the Bible because it always makes you think, like, did God really have to give us that? Like, couldn't he just told Moses that, and then we didn't have to write that down? Like, oh, this isn't for everyone else. It's just for me and you, Moses. But he didn't. He's like, no, write this down. I want you to get this. I want everyone to know this. So why would God give us the ingredients of something? I mean, it's real specific about certain things, and you're like, why is that in there? Everything in the Bible has a purpose. And so for the next 2 weeks, we're going to talk about that. Today, I'm talking about the ingredients of the anointing oil is the same ingredients we need in our lives anointing. And next week, we're going to talk, I'm so excited about next week too, talking about the ingredients of prayer that God answers. Wouldn't it be cool? How many men would be like, wouldn't it be great if your wives would be like, now, if you'll approach me this way, you're probably going to get a yes. That's what God's saying. He's like, hey, if you'll approach me this certain way, I'm going to hear that prayer. Oh, well, I want to know what that is. So don't miss next week also. I'm excited about this whole ingredients thing. So here's where this is found. It's found in Exodus chapter 30 because God is speaking to Moses, and God is using Moses to lead the people out of their slavery and into becoming the most prominent nation in all of world history. To this day, historians will tell you all of the world's history can be interpreted through one place, Israel. And so that's how prominent they are. So, I mean, obviously the anointing, it was on them all the way back, you know, 2,000 years ago, really, I'm sorry, 4,000 years ago. And so in the same way, God wants us to be anointed in the same way. Let me explain anointing this way. You ever lined up dominoes to knock them over? know what I'm talking about? You like line them all up. And so you knock one over, and like if you knock one over and one falls, you're like, okay. But you knock one over and 10 falls over, you're probably pretty good at something, right, in this area. But when you're anointed, you knock one over and 100 dominoes knock over. Same effort. Boop. And you're like, wow. And so someone who is living in their anointing, you watch them with awe. You're like, how do they do that? How are they that good, and how do they get that kind of results? And so they're living in their anointing. Guys, when I tell you last week we had 28,000 people at Easter, that is not me being wonderful. That's just me staying in the anointing of what God has for my life, and I haven't gone anywhere for 27 years. Does that make sense? It's not, oh, I'm so great. No. People keep jumping around. We all have zip code disease. Like, oh, if I was just in that zip code, then I'd be happy. If I just had that job, then I'd be happy. I just need to find the right job and the right people and the right this and the right that. And it's like, no, stay where you are and let God's anointing flow over you, and you'll make life better where you are. You have an anointing. You do. And so let's unpack this. I want to give you the scripture first, and then we're going to unpack what this anointing is for all of us. So Exodus chapter 30 says this. Then the Lord said to Moses, collect choice spices, and then he gives very specific details, 12 1/2 pounds of pure myrrh, 6 1/4 pounds of fragrant cinnamon, 6 1/4 pounds of fragrant calamus, and 12 1/2 pounds of cassia as measured by the weight of the sanctuary shekel. Also get 1 gallon of olive oil. Like a skilled incense maker, blend these ingredients to make a holy anointing oil. Use the sacred oil to anoint the tabernacle, that's God's house, to anoint Aaron and his sons, they were the priests, and consecrating them to serve me. Now, there are other reasons they used it too, but it was almost all for the tabernacle. God was like, this was for. Okay, but I want to also say that there's other places in Scripture where God used the anointing oil over what? Over David, right, when he became king. And so he was clearly anointed to be king. People to this day say he was the greatest king Israel's ever had. And so, I mean, he was clearly anointed for it, right? So everyone has a different anointing, but the same ingredients that go into me being anointed go into you being anointed. And what does anointed mean? It means power. You look up the word, it means power and authority. It means there's something you do with greater authority. Just because you're doing it, it just comes off better. And so it's with greater authority. Steph Curry right now has got authority over my Rockets. I don't like it, but he does. And so there's just something you do that God has designed you to do with great power. So let's unpack this. Are you guys ready to go? Because I'm excited. You ready? Let's do it. Check it out. Exodus chapter 30 is our first one. Collect choice spices, 12 1/2 pounds of pure myrrh. What is myrrh? Myrrh represents death to self and submission to God's will. I have a friend in high school that his father, I've known him a couple years, and one day he says, hey, come over to my house. I was like, okay, sure. Then we got really, really close. And I was at his house one day, and I was driving in, and I was like, where do you live? And I was like, is that a neighborhood? He's like, no, we just have our own land. I was like, okay. So I just followed in my car, and you know, he's going in front. And I'm driving, I'm like, oh, whoa, this is really big. And we pull onto this huge spread. And so you've been in a really nice gated community with its own lake. That was his home, but the gated community was just his home. I was like, oh, okay, I see how we're rolling here. So I pulled in, and he had two lakes, two man-made lakes, and then the home was, I don't know how big it was. You know, I was in high school, so I wasn't thinking about size of houses at that time, but looking back, thinking now, it had to be 10,000, 12,000 square feet easily. And so, I mean, it's a massive home. Couldn't believe my eyes. Like, whoa, this is crazy. And so I immediately said, wait, what does your dad do? I mean, I was like, was he the king of France? What's going on here? I don't understand. And so he says, oh, my dad's in real estate. I was like, oh, cool. So what I didn't know, what I now know, is that his father, when they built this home, the land, first of all, there's a sign that said, welcome to Rehoboth. Rehoboth is a biblical word that means much room, means spread out. And boy, were they spread out. And so I pulled in. Going to their home, he's like, hey, let me show you around. He's walking around. I'm like, okay, this is cool. I'm like in Disney World. You know, I'm looking around. And this one room, the living room, sat about 250 people. The living room. And so, I mean, it was just, I've never seen anything like this. It was crazy. And then at one end of the living room, there's a spiral staircase going up. And then there's a big loft. And that's where their master bedroom was, right? And then around the corner was his room. Anyways, so we go up there with the master bedroom. And he says, now, hey, come here. Stand right here, man. I was like, okay. He goes, now, extend your hands. I was like, oh, no way. So across the living room, the 250 seat, there's no seats in there, but I'm just saying it was that big. The living room was a gigantic fireplace mantle that looked like it should be in like a magazine or at least like maybe a hotel. It was that big. It was 2 stories tall. And at the top portion was a mirrored cross. And he said, come stand right here. And I was like, okay, so I stood here. He goes, take your hands out. And I did, and I could see myself hanging on the cross. And he said, this is what my dad does every morning. He dies to himself every morning. Is it any wonder that God had blessed this man? And by the way, it took him 4 years to build their house. You know why? They stopped midstream so he could give the millions for the house to his church. Oh, and by the way, Lord took care of him just fine. He was anointed for business. You have an anointing too, but one of the keys to your anointing is first, it's not for you. So get up on your cross and give it up for God. If you will die to yourself every morning and say, God, you have gifted me and given me talents and abilities and you placed me in where I'm at right now to do what you called me to do, so I die to myself, I want your will to be done, it's unbelievable what God will do with you. And so die to yourself. It says in Matthew chapter 16, then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So I just want to encourage you, just like my friend's father, you know, died to himself every morning and God blessed his business like crazy. If you'll do that too, it's amazing what you'll be able to do. And so die to yourself. That's the first key to this whole thing is the myrrh. And so now look what happens next. Exodus chapter 30, verse 23 goes on to say this. Now 6 1/4 pounds of fragrant cinnamon. So what is that? Cinnamon is a spicy, aromatic, and warm spice. It represents passion, zeal, and spiritual fire. And so I love cinnamon. How many of you guys like cinnamon? Like if you give me some cinnamon toast right now, I'll be all about it. You know what I'm saying? That sounds amazing. And so, but basically, he was saying that if you want God's anointing, you better get excited. Isn't that good? And so you can be really good at something, but if you have a bad attitude about it, it doesn't matter. You'd be like, yeah, I can sell cars like anybody. Yeah, but look at your attitude about it. So just because you can sell cars means you probably won't be because you're not very excited. So show up with excitement. You get to do that. You have the opportunity to do what you do. And so I just want to encourage you. No, listen, the world doesn't change by people who don't get excited. The world changes because of your passion. You're fired up. Let's go. Let's do this. God's looking for passionate people. It says in Romans 12, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. We want to keep our spiritual fervor. Can I just say right now that God has something that he's gifted you, challenged you to do. And one of the ways you know that you're living in this is that before your alarm goes off, you wake up. You're like, let's go. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go do this. That's one sign. That's not the only sign. Some people just aren't morning people. I get that. But you should be excited about what you're doing. Now, I want to clarify something, though. People sometimes think this whole, years ago, Steve Jobs had this quote, and everyone quotes him to this day about it. They're like, yeah, Steve Jobs, he founded Apple, if you don't know. Before he died, he spoke at Harvard once, or Stanford, I forget where he was. He was doing a commencement, and he said these famous words. He said, find something you love and do it your whole life, and you never work another day. Well, that's a cool quote, and I think that's awesome, and it really helps if you find something you love that makes billions of dollars by the time you're 17 years old in your parents' garage. That'll help. But let me just say this. It's a great quote, but here's the fallacy. We have a whole generation of people that keep going and changing job after job after job because they're like, I just haven't found what I love. No, no, no. Let me clarify. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says whatever your hand finds to do, do with all your might. So in other words, whatever you're currently doing, find a way to love it. Did you catch that? Find a way to love what you do, and then you'll be excited. And so I just want to challenge you to think differently about your job. You don't actually have to change jobs to be happy. You don't have to change locations to be happy. Find a way to be happy in what you're doing. Say, what do I love about this? Then lean into that. Lean into what you love about it, and you'll get excited about it. Excitement changes everything. You know, one of the things that gave me a spiritual fervor, honestly, was camp. I went to camp when I was in high school, junior high and high school, every single year, and it changed my life. It really did. And we got camp coming up, by the way, here the 1st of June, and I'm excited about that. How many of you guys went to camp, and for you, that's where you kind of fell in love with God? How many of you guys did that as a kid? Hold your hand. If that was you, look at the hands going up. Look, a lot of hands. Hold those up. Come on, hold them up. Hold them up proudly. Look at that. A lot of hands up right now. How many of you are like, oh, I wish I would have had that, right? You're like, I didn't have that. I wish I would have had that, right? How about this? At the end of our service during offering time, why don't you help me, and I'm going to do this too. Let's make sure that kids don't miss it because of money. Is that cool? Let's make sure that we do our part so that they don't miss it. Let's give another kid what we didn't get. And so I want to encourage you to do that. Every year, once a year, we do this big, you know, offering that's devoted to camp. And we have other bills to pay and everything too. but just over the top, we say, hey, let's just give a little more so we can make sure every kid gets scholarship that wants to go to camp. And so I want to make sure that happens. Let me talk about camp for a second. One thing I love about camp is when I was there, God just lit me up. His word became so real to me. I began to dive into the Bible. I got my own Bible. I was highlighting stuff, making notes. I mean, I was just all over the place. My wife, this happened to her too. She has a Bible that she's like, no, that's my Bible. It's so funny. I'm like, you know there's other Bibles, right? She's like, no. It's just my Bible. I'm like, okay, I think your Bible says the same thing mine does, but I understand. But what she's saying is, this has my markings. This has my notes. This is a history of how God changed my life. You know what I'm saying? And so she has that. And it just, the words mean more to you. You ever been in love? Remember falling in love? Maybe you're like, it hadn't happened yet. Okay, well, think about your friend that has happened to you and how annoying they are. You know what I'm talking about? They're so annoying when they're in love, aren't they? You're like, oh, here they go. And they're like, No, you hang up. I'm like, give me the phone. I'll hang it up. So annoying, right? But you know what? You know why they're that way? Because you're hanging on every word they're saying. Because you're in love. And see, when you fell in love with God, you hung on his every word. And you definitely didn't want to hang up because you never know what he's going to say next to you. And so one of the ways you get your spiritual fervor is you fall in love with his word. It becomes so powerful and you're like, you don't want to miss what God has next for you. It's exciting. By the way, this also is a big deal to understand that some people are going to be annoyed by you and your faith. They're like, oh, it's so annoying. That's because they're not in love like you're in love. Don't lose your passion because of them. And so I just want to encourage you, stay passionate, stay excited. And so I hated it when Jess and I first got married, and all these people said, oh, that'll all die down. And I was like, what? You know, and so I'm 30 years in, it hadn't died down for me, I can tell you that. I'm still chasing that girl around the house. Let's go. You don't have to lose that. And so God wants you to keep that passion, that excitement, that zeal. And so cinnamon represents that. So whatever it is your hand chooses to do, do it with all your might. Be excited. If you're in school right now, get excited about school. It's going to help you do what you want to do one day. And so whatever it is you're doing, you say, I'm not in the job I want. But you're in the company you want, and then you'll conventionally move around to do the job you want, right? And so I just want to encourage you, God has got you. And you say, I don't have the company, the job, I don't have anything like that. Where's God placed you? Get happy and excited, because that's the next step in what God has for you. And so I just want to encourage you, God knows what he's doing. He will lead you. Thrive where you are. And so then the next one is this. So we've got myrrh, which is death to self, cinnamon, which is passion, spiritual fire. That's very, very important we have that. And then third is calamus. Calamus is a reed that grows straight and tall. It's a symbol of integrity and righteousness. So this is something that they would obviously whittle down and then use it as part of the formula. Oh, and by the way, this is really important. Don't miss any of these. You know why? Have you ever had a cake that someone forgot an ingredient? You know what I'm talking about? My daughter, when she was learning to cook, she'd always like, I'm going to make us a cake. We're like, okay. And we're kind of like, you know. And so, because we had a few of those cakes. And she's like, oh, I forgot the butter. You know, I forgot the sugar. You know, you're like, yeah, we did know this, you know. And so, but a little while later, they were really good. Then she got all the ingredients. It's like, now she's got it, right? And so, I just want to encourage you that don't miss one of these ingredients because it's not your favorite. Because if you don't have it in the mix, it won't work. The anointing requires all of this, okay? So the first thing, we doubt ourselves. Second thing is that we have passion and zeal, spiritual fire. And third, calamus represents, it's a symbol of integrity and righteousness. 6 1/4 pounds of integrity and righteousness. Psalms 84 says, the Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Wow. Another translation says, who walks uprightly. Who does the right thing, right? Righteousness. And so this is really important. And I need to let you in something about righteousness. When you first give your life to Christ, maybe this last week you came to Easter and you gave your life to Christ. That's awesome. We are so happy that you're here and you're going to be growing your faith. And this has already probably happened this week. It's something new you didn't think about. All of a sudden, you're day two in your faith. You know, you're on Monday or Tuesday and you say something and you're like, oh, I don't feel good about saying that anymore. No one had to tell you that. The Holy Spirit told you that. Isn't that funny? You're like, oh, I don't want to talk like that anymore. I'm not sure I should be looking at this or reading this or acting like this or talking like that. All of a sudden, you become alive to that. In other words, you've been wandering in life like this. You're like, yeah, just whatever's going on. We'll do this fine. But you didn't realize the whole time there was this line that you keep crossing. You never even noticed the line before. But all of a sudden, you become a Christian. You're like, whoa, I didn't realize I was crossing this line the whole time. And so now what happens is because you're excited how God's come real, you notice the line. You're not being judgmental. You're like, hey, be careful. You're over the line a little bit. And someone's like, don't you be judging me. I can do whatever I want. Like, oh, I'm not trying to judge you. I just know this line. And you, well, you're trying to tell me how to live. No, I'm not trying to tell you to live. I just noticed something I didn't notice before. So it's not me being judgmental to you. I happen to notice there's a line I will no longer cross. But here's what happens is when we do that, let me show you scripture on this. It's really important. It says in Psalms 97, people who love the Lord hate evil. This is really important. The Lord watches over those who follow him and frees them from the power of the wicked. You'll eventually hate your sin. You'll literally hate it. And the reason why is because you'll start to realize how much it costs you. And you're like, I don't want to do that anymore. Man, that messed me up. And so all the things you used to brag on, now you're like, I don't want any part of that because it screwed my life up. And so what happens is people think we're being judgmental. We're not. We're saying, we already know. We've already been down. We've crossed the line 50 times already. We know how it is. We don't want to do it anymore. And so, but then you start to realize, well, that doesn't just apply to me, but it applies to my family. And so if my family doesn't toe the line, God will lift his hand from my family. In fact, I want to now point out, and I want to say, I want to be careful in our community because I want God's favor on our community. I would like God's favor on our nation. So there is a line, and I'm going to speak up if you don't agree with it because I know what crossing this line as a nation is going to cost us, and I'm not willing to get God's hand lifted from our nation. Does that make sense? This is why we get so passionate about, you know, certain rules and people say, well, you should be able to live how you want to live. Well, you can do that. Listen, you're free to do whatever you want. You're just not free of the consequences of it. So we can do whatever we want as a nation. We're just not going to be free of the consequences of that. And so that's what I'm trying to say. So there's a line. We're not being judgmental. What we're saying is, I didn't even recognize it before, but now I'm walking with God. I see the line. I don't want to mess that up. I want God's hand in my life. And so I want God's anointing, and that stuff really does matter. It says, again, it says, no good thing does he withhold. God's like, I'll give you whatever I have for you. Like, God's like, I'll give you the full inheritance I have for you if you'll just honor me. That's it. Just honor the Lord, and if you'll do that, God will open doors for you. Just be blameless. Blameless does not mean perfect. Blameless means you're doing your best to serve God. And you're going to mess up, and you're going to mess up tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day. But you're going to try to correct and be like, man, I keep doing that. I really want to change in that area. God, I'm so sorry. I'm going to try to get back on the right path. And so, again, you're not perfect, but you're actually trying to walk with God. That's what blameless actually means. And so we want to be a symbol of integrity and righteousness in the office you work in the gym you go to, in the places you hang out, in your family, in your life. And if you will do that, that's a big part of God's anointing on your life. And so I just don't blow this off. It is a huge, huge thing. And we see every day people with great anointings on TV, great anointings with their talents with sports or broadcasting or education or frankly ministry or whatever, and we realize, oh man, they didn't have integrity, and it blows our life up. And so this really does matter. And so even if you're not in a public position, you're still public. You got kids looking at you. That's public. Does that make sense? So just want to encourage you with that. And then the fourth one here is cassia. Cassia is a spice specifically used to clean. A life marked by cleansing and repentance is also important. It says in Exodus 30, 24, 12 and a half pounds of cassia. Psalms 97 says, people who love the Lord hate evil. I already read that, sorry. 1 John 1, 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. God's saying, hey, look, I'm not telling you to confess your sins because I think you're a horrible person. He's saying, I'm telling you to confess your sins because I know we all have them. But if you'll do it, God says, I'm faithful and just, I'll forgive you. It's gone. Don't live in shame. God's like, I've totally forgiven you. Now just start to follow the Lord. Just follow his path. You cannot fix yesterday, but you can fix tomorrow by what you choose to do today. So I just want to encourage you. Say, okay, God, I'm going to begin to honor you. I was out of town a couple days this week. And my wife rented some Airbnb, so I forget where it was. And I didn't know where it was. And so I said, hey, send me the link, you know, where it's at. So I put it in my Apple Maps, right? And I'm driving around. I've never been this part of town. I'm trying to find it. And it took me right there. I was like, oh, this is great. Then leaving there to go somewhere else the next day, I was like, okay, where are we going? Okay, let me put it in my map, right? And so since I didn't know the area, I really couldn't go without the map. So I started to go. But this happened to you. The first time you put the address in, you start going, and you're like, it almost always is like, oh, I'm going the wrong direction. I got to turn around. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So, but then you turn around, and you're like, and then all of a sudden it starts to reroute, and you're like, okay, now, or you're going the wrong direction, and then it says, okay, it just reroutes you completely. It says, just take this turn, you'll get back on path, right? So it just redirects you. But some people with the Christian faith are like this. They're like, I don't like coming to church or hanging out with my Christian friends or reading the Bible because every time I do, I just feel like God's always convicting me. You mean directing you? No, he's always making you feel bad. No, he's just telling you to turn here. Don't confuse direction with correction. It's not that God doesn't love you or love us. He just is saying, no, this is the way to go. And for the person who's like, every time I talk to God, every single time, he's always telling me to go in the wrong direction. That's not because the map's wrong. It's because you're ignoring the map. So if you intentionally drive the opposite direction of what the map says, just don't be surprised when you end up at a destination you don't want to be at. So if you intentionally ignore the direction God's giving, you'll end up in a bed you're not supposed to be in, a life or relationship you're not supposed to be in. You'll end up in a mess. So you can do that, but it's going to waste a lot of time. And that's good time where you could be way further down the road with what God has for you. Does that help someone today? He's not trying to correct, he's trying to direct. And so, and when you really begin to walk with God, you're open to that. You're like, no, Lord, I want you to direct me because I want the destination that you have for me. I know there's something else about these four spices. Very interesting. These four spices, two of them are double the others in the amount. So two of them are 12 and a half pounds, and two of them are 6 1/4. Those are exactly half of 12 and a half, right? So it's very measured. So I thought, no, that's not an accident. It's in the Bible, which means it's not an accident. So I began to dig and say, why are two more than the rest? The two that are more than the rest are myrrh and cassia. Myrrh represents dying to yourself. Cassia represents repentance. Those go together, don't they? Think about that. To die to yourself means you repent and go in a new direction God wants you to go instead of what you want to do, right? And so they go together. So I realized what this really means, what God's saying to us by having an overweighted two ingredients versus the other two is this. God values twice as much surrender and sanctification as he does spiritual charisma and outward performance. Let me put it another way. The anointing is built on depth, not display. We tend to focus on display, how we look, how we do in the game. And God's like, the way you do in the game depends on what you did in the gym. Catch that? It's what you do when no one's around, which is depth, that gets you the results when everyone's around that everyone wants to see. So I just want to challenge you that we need more. We need more death to self, dying to ourselves, and repenting than we do the outward performance of passion and just right living. Right living is great, but it comes from a heart that's in tune with him, okay? So I hope that helps someone today. There's one more scripture I want to give you on this. It says in Jeremiah 18, verses 1 through 6, it says this, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord was this, arise and go down to the potter's house. So I went down to the potter's house. The vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hands. It means it kind of broke apart, right? Spoiled in the potter's hands. And he reworked it into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to do. Then the word of the Lord came to me, can I not do with you as this potter has done, declares the Lord? Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. So listen, this is very important. God's not trying to just correct you and make little changes. He's going to take you and mush you all together and rework you and make a whole nother vessel out of you. He will completely make you different than you are today if you will allow all of the ingredients of the anointing to flow into your life, okay? And then there's one more ingredient. I hope someone's getting, is someone getting anything out of this hope today? Okay, here's the last one. This is really important. The last one is the olive oil. The olive oil. This is the actual oil that blends it all together. And the oil, they say, is the carrier of all the other ingredients. It's the one you need to actually mix it together. You can put a bunch of ingredients together, but if you don't have that liquid piece, it'll just be clumps. But when you put in the oil, now it makes a mixture. Now it makes a soup-like mixture, okay? And so that's very important. So what is the oil in Scripture? This represents the Holy Spirit. So God's calling you and I to be Spirit-led, not led by self-effort. Could it be that you keep trying really hard to do good and failing at it, and God's like, that's because you're being will-led rather than Spirit-led. Spirit-led means, God, I keep falling into the same temptations. I don't know why I keep doing this. And instead of being like, I'm going to try harder, I'm going to white knuckle it, I can do this. God's like, no, just admit you can't do it. And call on me. Call on me. Call on the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I need you to fight this battle because I can't. And then God's power comes on you and you can overcome. And so I just want to encourage you to be Spirit-led. The Holy Spirit is the game changer. And so when we talk about the Holy Spirit and the anointing, in some circles that just means get excited and run around and yell louder and cry and come to the altar, and those are all good things. I'm all for them. But you can do that your whole life and not be changed. So let's put it this way. If I had some gasoline, there's a lot you can do with gasoline. A lot of good stuff and bad stuff, right? But if I decided to take a match and just be like, hey, let's get this party started. Boom, I light it up and just throw it in there. What's going to happen? It's going to be a really cool explosion, and then we're going to have a big mess in our hands, right? People can get hurt. I mean, it can be out of control, and so it can go really bad. Or I can use the same gasoline, and I can pour it into a vehicle, right? And the vehicle has what's called an internal combustion engine, which means it's little explosions. They're happening constantly, all the time. Boom, 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 boom. And those little explosions then turn the wheels and give you energy. And all of a sudden, if you take those little explosions, they'll lead you anywhere you want to go. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. You can start from where you are today and be literally halfway across the world in no time with little explosions. So you know what those little explosions are? Holy Spirit speaking to me. Oh, Pastor, this is what people say to me. Oh, Pastor, your sermon messed me up. What they said was, little explosion went off. Little explosion went off. Well, that dating relationship made it. Nope, there it goes. That's over. Pastor Bill said I need to break up with them, so there you go. That's gone. Oh, well, and then I was going to hang out with these friends, but I blew up that. And so now I'm going to, oh, I was going to do this, and I blew up that. And so I go this way. But you don't realize all the explosions are going that you think are just messes are actually leading you somewhere. And you look up, and all of a sudden you realize these explosions keep happening, but if I keep following the Lord anyways, keep doing it anyways, and I look up, and I'm like, I used to be way, 5 years ago I was way over there. I don't even recognize who I am today. I'm so different. You know, Joseph's brothers, by the time God was done with Joseph, when they saw him later in life, they didn't even recognize him. When God's through with you, your own friends and family will not recognize you. That's how much he wants to do in your life. So rather than just having a big explosion one time, whoa, it was incredible, that's great, and then we're all still kind of the same, let God have those little internal explosions every morning with God. Every day with God, just boom, oh, man, this messed me up, and oh, this bullet exploded my face, and oh, man, I got it, but it's okay, because I'm letting that lead me, and God's guiding me, and God's saying, that's not it, they're not it, this is it, but this is it, and it's leading me, and the whole time I'm going in a certain direction, I'm becoming a new person, and God's anointing is now on my life. That's the kind of life that God wants you to have. I just want to challenge you right now. Is there some internal explosions going off? You got something, you're like, well, you blew that up. I thought I was going to go in this direction, but I can't do that. Now the Lord just blew that up. That's not God stopping you. That's God directing you. And he has something better for you. So let's live in the anointing. Because when you're in God's anointing, you can do more than you're actually capable of. I look at this church, I'm like, I'm not capable of this. This is God. I'm not this smart. I'm definitely not this good of a leader. This is just the Lord's anointing. And I didn't get that from God. Like, I asked for it. God just puts me in a place, and if I obey him and stay faithful, God does more than you can do on your own. And I've talked to a lot of people that have an anointed life, and I know anointed mothers and fathers, anointed coaches, anointed real estate realtors, I know anointed people in the military. And they just have just been faithful. I'm like, how'd you get to this prominent position? You're running the whole freaking base, bro. How you doing that? I'm just faithful. And I just kept doing what the Lord put in front of me. And I just kept staying faithful to honor God and be a man of integrity. And, you know, the military kind of looks for people like that. Next thing you know, I'm running the whole base. Next thing you know, Pentagon's calling me when they need something. What? Living in their anointing. You have an anointing too. Which ingredient's missing? Okay, God, I don't want the cake to taste funny. I don't want to waste all this time baking, and because I just refused to have integrity. I just refused to have self-denial. I just refused, you know, what is it for you? I just refused to bring passion. I just refused to let repentance really happen in my life. And God's like, you can do that if you want. You're just not going to live in the anointing. The cake just won't taste good. Or you can follow the program. And watch what God does. Would you bow your heads with me, every head bowed, every eye closed? I want to encourage you during this prayer time right now. God is speaking to someone today. I think there's some internal explosions going off right now. That's the Holy Spirit moving in your life. He's leading you. He's guiding you. He's directing you. Perhaps he's turning you around completely. That's okay. Because when he does turn you around completely, now you're going in the right direction. Why would you be stubbornly going in the wrong direction, listening to your map tell you over and over, turn here, turn here, now turn here, now turn, and you're just ignoring. God's like, I have a place for you. But you keep ignoring the Holy Spirit. So what's the Holy Spirit telling you right now? Obey the Holy Spirit. Every head bowed, every eye closed. What's God telling you? Just obey him. If the Lord is being very specific to you right now, would you lift your hand high and just say, God, I hear you loud and clear. And I know what you're telling me to do or telling me not to do. That's okay too. Hold your hand high. Praise God. God's moving. This is an anointed church. You know how I know you're anointed? Because your hands are going up. That means you're saying, there's an explosion happening in my heart. Some I like, some I don't. But I'm going to follow the Lord because I trust that his plan's better than mine. This isn't about displays. This is about depth. It's about being the person that God's called you to be, not trying to look like a person that God's called you to be. Be them. It's not about how you look on the outside. This is an internal job today. Anointing is always an internal job. Praise God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Have you given your life to Christ? Jesus was anointed to be our Savior. He was called by the Father to come to this earth, pay the price for our sins on the cross, and then rise again. Now he waits for you to receive him. You can pray a simple prayer, make him your Lord and your Savior. Pray this prayer with me now. We're going to pray this across all of our campuses. You can just say this out loud. Just say, Dear Jesus, I realize I need you. I believe you died for my sin. I believe you rose again. Please come in my heart. Be my Lord and be my Savior. I repent of my sins. I put you in first place. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you just gave your life to Christ, would you hold your hand high right now? If you just gave your life to Christ, just hold your hand high. Thank you. There are hands going up all across our churches. Just hold those hands high. Thank you, Portland. Praise God. Thank you, Rockport. Hold those hands high. Thank you, Padre Island. God's moving right now. OTB, let's go. Hold those hands high. Praise God. God's moving right now in Stone Oak. San Antonio, let's go. God's moving. Hold those hands high. God's moving right here, broadcast. Right down the street at Rodfield, God's moving. You're online with us right now, and the Lord has spoken to you. You've given your life to Christ. So right now in this prayer time, let us know in that text chat. Just text my hands raised saying, I gave my life to Christ. Let us know. In our prison ministry, hold those hands high. Lord, we love you, God. We thank you for the way you're moving in all of our campuses. Thank you, God, for what you're doing. Lord, your Holy Spirit is flowing. We sense the anointing oil on our lives. Thank you, God. Lord, even the things you're blowing up, it's going to lead us in the right direction. And we trust you, Lord. Thank you, God, that we can see greater things in our life by living with the ingredients of your anointing. Thank you for this message, Lord. And then we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Isn't God good? His word is so true. Hey, if you just received Christ, by the way, last week,